Philip, is that the one you spit in? No? Okay. Good. Okay. Before we read, I want to say I'm a little bit different than the pastor. He said he didn't want to just be against everybody. I don't want to be against anybody. I just agree with whatever you say. But maybe not so much tonight. Anyhow. All right. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 10. Let's start reading in verse 1. First Corinthians 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for giving me the privilege to stand and to share that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless this service. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to have recall. I pray, God, that you would bless the service. I ask for your anointing, that, Lord, I'd be able to do and say what you want said. And I pray that you would take your word. And I pray, God, you would take it to hearts and help us, Lord, to be changed as you know we need to be. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. Noah preached faithfully for 120 years. He built the ark. He stood true in the face of a wicked world that no one but his family actually stood with him.
That's right.
Moses was the meekest man to live. David was a man after God's heart. Solomon was the wisest man ever. And Peter was in the inner circle of the Lord. Each of these men is recorded as a leader, a Christian leader in Scripture. And yet, God also recorded that each one of them failed in a major way. Each one of them failed to stand. Noah stayed true throughout 120 years of preaching. Yet after the flood, you know he sinned by getting drunk. Moses was the meekest man on earth. And yet in a moment of anger, he sinned and lost his chance to go into the promised land. David was a man after God's heart. And yet during a time that I believe was a spiritual weakness, but in a time of passion, he fell, and his life was never the same after that.
Right.
Solomon was the wisest man on earth. And yet I don't know of anybody that made a bigger mess of it. Fell into sensual sin and left his mark, not one that anybody would want to be their mark. Peter's love for the Lord is without question. And we all know that Peter denied the Lord. All these men are what we would call spiritual leaders, great, great Christians.
Yes, sir.
And yet every one of them fell.
Yes,
I look at that and I think, well, if these great men fell, what chance do I have?
Yeah.
I mean, as a common Christian, what chance do we have of going through life and staying true to the Lord? Well, I believe the answer is that great Christians are not exempt from falling.
Right.
And common or ordinary Christians are not destined to fall. Every Christian has a God's guarantee that we can escape the temptation that we face. Verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." You know, sometimes the temptation just seems too strong for us to bear up under it. And sometimes we just seem to be so weak that we can't stand up under any of it. Verse 13 says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. What God is saying, that there is no temptation that you will ever come in contact or encounter in your life that you have to cave into, that you have to fail in. There's not a temptation that comes up against us that we cannot stand right. Now, you say, well, what's the answer? Well, I'll tell you, I don't believe the answer is really easy. We have God's assurance that He will help us. He will give us the victory if we will do what God said. And He said, will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able. You say, what's the key? Well, I believe the key is taking God's way of escape. I mean, that doesn't seem real difficult. I find it not all that easy sometimes. But it's not hard to understand. It's just not always easy to accomplish. There's not a person here that by tomorrow morning can be assured that they will not be a statistic of failure.
Sure.
It can happen to any one of us. It doesn't have to happen
right.
To any of us. And there's not a one of us that will say, I had to.
No.
I'm gonna make what is probably an unfounded statement, because I don't know what everybody did this week. I know what my week was like. But I'd say it's possible that somebody here this week failed in a very real way. I'm not talking about didn't read as much or didn't pray as much. I'm talking about actually committed an on-purpose sin. And I'd say that it's not unlikely that if that did happen to somebody here, that they might say, I just couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I was overcome with it. And I would just say, that's just not true.
Right.
It's not true.
Right.
Now, sometimes I know that temptation gets us, and sometimes it feels like we're just overtaken. But there is never a time that temptation gets us that we do not have the ability to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, before we go any further, I want to say that when you're sliding off the roof, it may be a little late for you to decide not to run around on the roof. You can get yourself into a situation that humanly you're not going to stop yourself. But I will say, you probably had better sense than to get up there to begin with. And we get ourselves into problems that it seems like it is just impossible to get out of. And I believe even then, if our heart is right, we'd rather go down as a fool than to have to fail on God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God's escape plan. Is there any way a young man can be assured of not becoming an alcoholic? I mean, can you be certain that you're not going to be an alcoholic? You say, well, don't drink anything but beer. No, because you start drinking beer, and I can promise you it won't be too long before you're on to something else.
That's
well,
right.
Then only drink on weekends. No, it's not going to work either.
Right.
So how would you ever know you were not going to be a drunkard? Don't take the first one.
That's right.
That's God's way of escape.
Amen.
Is don't do it. Don't start. Don't. Well, I'll get ahead of myself here, but you know, there is a way of escape. If somebody here tonight is not saved, I just say what you already know. You're on your way to hell. You say, well, no, I'm a church member. Well, hell is populated by Baptist church members.
Yes, sir.
In probably almost every church, there'll be somebody in there that's a church member that's not truly been born again. You say, well, what am I going to do? Well, there's only one thing to do. That's grab God's escape route.
Amen.
And confess what you know to be true. Because what is true is if you die like that, you will spend eternity in hell.
Yes, sir.
Being a church member, being a Sunday school teacher, being a tither, being a worker, whatever you are, will not help you.
Right.
God's way of escape has to happen before you die. Once you die, it's too late.
Right.
But there is that escape.
Amen.
So, okay, well, there's an escape. How do we do that? How do you escape? I'd like to start right tonight. I would say I'd like to start this morning, but it's a little late for that now. I'd like to start tonight. Go the rest of my life, never do another sin.
Yes, sir.
God knows my heart. I'd love to go the rest of my life.
Yes, sir.
And never sin against God again. Verse 12 says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed,
right,
lest he fall."
Amen.
I believe the first thing we do, if we're going to take God's escape route, is don't flirt with it.
Amen.
Don't flirt with temptation. You say, what's that supposed to mean? Well, Romans 13, verse 14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You can't play with sin. You can't play with that temptation and at the same time know, I'm going to turn it down. When it gets a little bit hard, when it gets to be too strong of a temptation, I'll just quit. No. The problem with temptation is the longer we put it off, the stronger it gets.
Yep.
The same way as sin does. When I pastored in Western Kansas, some of the guys came and said, "Pastor, did you ever see a movie called Saving Private Ryan?" I think that's the title. I'm not certain at this point, but I believe it was Saving Private Ryan. I said, "No, I never did." They said, "You've got to get that movie. You've got to see that as a military guy. You got to watch that." I said, "Well, would that have bad language in it, or would that have anything improper for you to look at?" And they said, "Well, there is some of that. But the storyline is so good, you just need to watch that." And they would come around periodically and say, "Preacher, did you watch that Saving Private Ryan yet?" No, I didn't. I'm not going to. Do you know watching a movie that has inappropriate things in it is about as smart as snorting cocaine, because cocaine has some medicinal use. They said, "Well, it's got some good parts to it." They had a lot of good things. I mean, things in the garbage that's got good parts to them.
Yeah.
I remember the first foreign port I ever pulled in the Navy. It was Christmas Eve, 1962. We just eat chow, and they when you go through the scullery, you scrape all your food off into a big trash cans. And then after that, when you're at sea, they take them out and dump them over the fantail. Well, you don't do that when you're in a harbor. So they hire people to come bring their little bum boats, what we call them, and come along behind the ship and they dump it in it. And I was a tender, young, barely 18-year-old sailor, and they dumped that off the fantail into this bum boat, and the guy, the Japanese guy that was driving it, dove into that garbage, dug through until he found a piece of meat, and sat back on his haunches and started eating it. And I gave him the rest of my supper. They may be good food in there, but who in here wants part of that? There may be something that you would say, there's a good principle in that. No, the best thing to do is not play with it, not flirt with it, because the longer you flirt with it, the more acceptable it becomes. And the more acceptable it becomes, the closer you get to it. And then one day, you're doing what you knew you'd never do. Okay. What else do we do? Well, I believe step two in my little program is isolate yourself from evil associations. Now, you know, I understand that. If I understand that, I believe everybody in here has to be able to understand that. But I understand. You run with the wrong crowd, and before it's over with, well, Proverbs 1 verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood."
Yes,
now, I'll just skip the rest of it. But I want to ask you, I won't ask it as a question. I want you to answer. I don't want you to answer it. Anybody here have a tattoo? Some of you military guys probably say, "Yeah, I got one or two or six or what." I've got some tattoos. Do you know, before I went in the Navy, I never thought about having a tattoo.
That's right.
I never did. If you'd have walked up to me the day before I joined the Navy and you said, "Randy, you're going to get a tattoo?" I said, "Out of your mind?" You know what happened? I got on board a ship and everybody was getting tattoos. Some of them were the cutest things you ever looked at. But I didn't want a cute tattoo because I'm going to be a man. So I got a little devil tattooed on my arm. You can't imagine how proud I am of that thing. You can't imagine, I promise you. If you got a tattoo, let me ask you, did that just come into your mind? One day you said, "You know what? I don't know anybody that has a tattoo, but I think I'd like to have one." I'd say that didn't happen. If you've got a tattoo, you're influenced by somebody else.
That's right.
I haven't seen anybody around here walking around with a stud sticking out of their face. But I want to tell you, I don't know anything that a woman could do that make her more beautiful than having a stud sticking out of your nose. I mean, that is that not the absolute epitome of beauty? I mean, surely it is. Or have one flapping on the end of her tongue. You try to talk around it or eat around it.
Yeah.
I mean, you say, Brother King, that is not beautiful. Well, it must be. All the girls are doing it.
Yep.
I mean, how many of you girls, answer me, please. How many of you girls actually would like to be about as ugly as you can? I mean, you just say, it's my heart's desire to just be ugly, to look stupid. Listen, I don't believe the stud wearers, that was their idea, but they accomplished it. I mean, they just look about as ridiculous. A young lady waited on me in the store this week. She had a stud, right? I swear, I thought something hanging out of her nose when I first saw it. And I wanted to say, honey, I just can't tell you how attractive you are. That is just beautiful. Well, why in the world would you do that? Because somebody else did it.
That's right.
And even when you do it, you cannot be stupid enough to believe this is going to make me look good.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to Bible college. I went to what I thought was a good Bible college. It's not good now, I know that. But I was shocked when I got there. I was an old man. I mean, I was 40. Everybody else was 17, 18, 19 years old. But the hairdo of the day was you got your head wet and you went in a wind tunnel. And when it dried, you went and got dressed, went out. I swear that's the only way you can make it look that way. And I remember going to chapel the first day. And I saw those young women, and some of them were pretty, I guess. I thought, what happened? I couldn't believe it. What would tempt a pretty young woman, or even a not so pretty, to want to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you wear a hairstyle that makes you look stupid and anything but beautiful? Because somebody did it, they had enough brass to step out and do it.
Yep.
And you say, well, if they did it, then surely I can do it too.
Yep.
You can. You can. And you can live the results of it too.
Right.
You run with the wrong people.
Yep. Yes.
And the next thing you know, you're in trouble.
Yep.
In trouble. Proverbs 4:14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. He said, don't get around them. Stay away from them.
Amen.
He said, well, that's good Bible, but I don't know, is that the part that we listen to? Well, maybe not, but it should be.
Amen.
It should be. We ought to be listening to all of it.
Amen.
What happens? What is it that leads our decent young teens into a world that is completely set against God?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. It breaks my heart. I cannot believe the Christian young people that go through high school and graduate, and you would not know they ever heard of God in their life.
That's right.
Get right out. What in the world has happened? At some point, some of these things have happened.
Right.
And they've got around somebody, or they've watched something on that thing in the living room.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners."
Right.
I grew up, drugs was the worst possible thing. I mean, it was just wicked, and I wasn't even a good kid. But drugs, no way, not ever. I had a young guy checked in on the ship, my first ship. He outrated me, and I wound up working under him. And he was the coolest guy you ever met. I mean, he was cool. He knew all the latest stuff and all that. And he taught me how to do some drugs. Well, I tell you, my life just shot forward there. I mean, I really... No. Stay away from people that you know are not going to help you live for God.
Amen.
You say, you talking to young people? You know what? I wish we could have some parents would have that much sense.
Amen.
I mean, if we could just have some adults that would say, you know, I'm going to practice at work what I demand my son do or my daughter do at school.
Amen.
Unfortunately, we have to worry about the kids, but I'm grown. I know I've got it wired. I tell you something, you ain't got it wired.
Right.
You ain't got it wired.
Amen.
You wind up in trouble. Anyhow, I got to hurry. I only got 15 points. My next little step, walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
And we like to say that, don't we? I mean, we preach about walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. And Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are not contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit."
Amen.
If my mind is on spiritual things, it doesn't leave room for a lot of worldliness.
That's right.
But if my mind is bouncing back and forth, I've got plenty of time for the back to start catching me and pull me away. You say, how do you walk in the Spirit? Well, I don't know that I'm an authority to tell you because I stumble so much. But I know one thing. If you don't read your Bible every day for content, I'm not talking about that you can write it down on a piece of paper, but read it for reason to get something from God. If you're not spending time in prayer every day, mom and dad,
yes, sir.
You can teach your kids to do it once you learn it.
Yep.
Now, I don't mean that rudely. But God help us. If there's an adult Christian here that does not get in their Bible every day, does not get on their face and pray, seriously pray, you have no business raising people. Because you're not going to have a good product come out. God help us to know that our life, that the Scripture is our life.
Yes, sir.
The honest prayer time is the only communication, real communication you're going to have with God.
Amen.
We can't afford to go a day without that.
That's right.
Walk in the Spirit. Focus on things of God. Focus on what would please God. I can't walk around reading my Bible all day, although the older it gets, the more of the day it seems to take up. We've got things to do. I worked under the house most of this, well, it felt like most of this past week. I don't know, was it an hour? No. I couldn't carry a Bible under there, not have it survive.
Right.
No, we have to do things. But when I go under the house, I don't have to leave everything I got out of Scripture outside.
Right. Amen.
I can ponder on things of God. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Spend time with God. Serious time with God.
Amen.
Get into the Word. I've heard it said right here that people say, "What do you believe?" "I believe what our church believes." "Well, what does your church believe?" "Our church believes what our pastor believes." "Well, what's your pastor believe?" "Well, I don't know."
"Yeah.
You don't know what you believe."
Right.
What do we believe?
Amen.
How much time we ever stop and consider? We were back in the pastor's office talking about doctrine a while ago. We talked about progressive salvation.
Yeah.
I like that.
Amen.
Your foot gets saved, then it works up to your knee bone, and the knee bone's connected. You ever stop and wonder, why do we believe what we say we believe?
Amen.
You can't walk with God and at the same time walk around ignorant about what you believe.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit means get serious about what God has for us.
Amen.
Spend time in it. 2 Corinthians 5:10, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What do I let run through my head unchecked? What do I allow to just sit there? Excuse me, sit there and focus on that I know I shouldn't. Well, nobody can see inside my mind. Yeah, somebody can.
That's right.
Somebody can. Knows exactly what's going through your mind right now. My next little point is strangle sin to death. Strangle it. Or strangle temptation to death. Don't let it breathe. Don't let it live.
Amen.
I heard a preacher in a preacher's fellowship one time. He was preaching and he said, if you're going to preach against sin, don't wound it. Kill it.
Amen.
Talking
Amen.
To other preachers.
Yep.
Don't patty cake with it. Don't say, yeah, it's not good for you to do. Yep. No, if it's a sin, for heaven's sake, call it what it is and tell what God thinks about it.
Yep.
Well, that ought to be true for you and me.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
If there's a temptation, you say, well, I'm just going to touch it. All I want to do is just touch it. I'm not going to get involved in it. I just want to touch it a little bit. Well, I touched it and it didn't really hurt me. I think I'll just feel it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hurt. I wonder if I could pick it up. And next thing you know, it's got you.
That's right.
I heard a preacher talk about when he was a little boy. He lived out in the country. And he said the old days, kids, you know, when they still had matches that you struck and things like that. He said he stole the kitchen matches. He went outside and he told his cousin, said, you want to start a fire? His cousin said, no. He looked at him and he said, where do you want to start it? He said, well, let's go over here in the woods. Went over in the woods and he said, you want to put some, well, they struck a match and it scared them. He said, you want to put some leaves on fire? He said, no. He said, we could try it. Put a little bit, then they beat it out. He said, well, let's put some sticks on it this time. They put some sticks on it. It flared up. It scared them to death. They beat it out. Well, that didn't. We got that and put out. Put a little heavier sticks on it. He said, finally, it caught real good. The wind came up. Next thing you know, the whole woods is engaged.
Yep.
What happened? The same thing happens to you when you know it's wrong, but you're just going to touch it. You're just going to feel it. You're just going to try it a little bit, but you're not going to get caught up in it. You're just going to try it a little bit. And the next thing you know, it's a heart addiction.
Yep.
Romans 6, verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
Isn't that funny? He says, you're not under the law, but don't let sin take over.
That's right.
Why? Because grace says, leave it alone.
Amen.
Leave it alone. There's no excuse in sin.
Right.
There's no acceptance of a little bit of sin. It's when we start accepting things that we know are not exactly right that we get led into what is exactly wrong.
That's right.
God help us. Well, when temptation comes, run.
Amen.
You say, well, you don't mean actually. No, I mean actually, run.
Amen.
I do. I believe if a man or woman works in a situation, in a job out in town, and there is some flirtation that starts, best thing you can do is go say, I'm clocking out.
Yep.
And go find me another job. What? We're just fixing to promote you. I'm promoting myself.
There you go.
Getting away from what's going to ruin my home,
yeah,
ruin my Christian life. You say, you're not serious. I am dead serious.
Yes, sir.
You would be way better off. Take a $10, I don't know how much you make nowadays. But anyhow, take a big loss and win through that.
Yes, sir.
Run from it. Run from it. You say, Brother Randy, ain't nobody runs anymore. Well, we all know Joseph, don't we? We know that he was sold into slavery, put in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife came around, tried to tempt him, and she kept on and kept on until one day she got aggressive. And what did Joseph do? He ran.
Yep.
He ran like anybody that's got any sense would do. He ran. Do you know, if Joseph had not run, there is a probability that he would have had a good time that day. He would never have led Egypt.
Right.
He would never have been held up as a trophy of God's grace,
right,
in Scripture.
Right.
It would have ruined his life, and he would have never led the people of Israel out of the trouble that they got into.
Right.
What happened? He ran.
Amen.
He ran. God help us. I mean, I don't know about running physically. I don't know how much good it'd do me getting about 3 or 4 feet away. I tell you what, we'll do everything we can to get away from it.
Amen.
Everything we can to divorce ourselves from the temptation,
that's right,
that can drag us down. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen.
You know, David run back in the palace, the first glimpse he got of Bathsheba, he wouldn't have ruined his life. But his life was never the same again.
Right.
Everything in his life went bad after that. Run, run. Proverbs 4:25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I tell you what, it's amazing how just diverting from what you know is right. You say, well, you can't always do right. Where did you get that?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't always do right, and that is true. But you can. You can always do right.
Amen.
You can always say, I'm not going to go against God.
Yep.
I'm going to do what honors Him. I'm going to have a life that will actually matter. You young guys, right now, if you set your heart, and I hope you do. I mean, I hope you already have. If you got your heart set and you say, I'm going to live exactly like God would have me live. You say, well, there's going to be a lot of fun I'm going to miss. No, there's not. No, there's not. God help me. I was 34 when I got saved. I can tell you all about the fun you'll miss. And I'm going to tell you, you're way better off to miss it.
Amen.
But when you get as old as I am, and you look back, and you have stayed right with God,
yeah,
you'll go, well, life is good.
Amen.
God has blessed me. He has used me. He has given me a decent home. He's given me decent children. How? By staying on track.
Yes, sir.
There are going to be plenty of people trying to do everything they can to drag you off.
That's exactly
you
right.
Determine now, I'm not moving. I'm
Amen.
Not moving. when temptation comes, I believe you ought to run.
Amen.
Then, always remember that God actually is. Fellowship with God is always enough. Mm. You know, young people say, well, I don't want to miss out. You're not missing out.
Right.
You're not missing out. You may not live in the sewer for a while, but that's not missing out. It never gets better than being in fellowship with God.
Amen.
I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. God help me. I've lived on both sides and way too long on that other side. And I know you're not missing out.
Amen.
Nothing I've ever experienced was as good as a day spent with the Lord.
Amen.
Don't throw that away.
Amen.
Remember.
Yes, sir.
Remember, what you've got with Him is the sweetest thing you will ever have in
Amen.
Your life. Matthew 11:22 says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. Live a life that walks with God. You'll never have to be afraid.
Amen.
You'll never have to be ashamed. You'll never have to stand up in front of a crowd of people and say, God, forgive me for the wicked life I've lived.
Mm-hmm.
And He has. Thank God for that. But I wish I could get those years back.
Yes, sir.
And everybody that has lived like I did and has been saved would say the same thing.
That's right.
Then last, or as Pastor says, I'm winding it down.
Yeah.
I'm going to be done in... If you fall, repeat steps 1-6.
Amen.
Start all over again.
Yep.
You say, I've ruined it. It's gone. No, it's not gone. It may not shine as good as it would have if you'd have stayed right. But for heaven's sake, get up and go and do what's right.
Amen.
Follow simple steps. Stay away from people that drag you down. Stay away from temptations that are going to pull you down.
Right.
Don't look at things that you know are going to turn your heart and your mind.
Right. Amen.
1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for that. I thank God almost every day for that.
Amen.
But wouldn't it be better if I didn't have to confess anything?
Yep.
Wouldn't it be better if He didn't have to forgive me of something I did? I'm glad He's ready to forgive.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You know, if you do fall into mischief, and you most likely will, if you've got what you need to have, you get back up, you dust yourself off, and say, you know what, God didn't quit me. He'll forgive me.
Amen.
And what I've got left, I'm going to use for Him. None of us has managed to get through life and not sin. But we could get through the rest of the life and sin a whole lot less than what we have.
Yes, amen.
If we would just determine to.
Yes,
just
sir.
Determine to.
Yes.
Parents, I'm not your counselor. I don't mean to try to be that. But wouldn't it be a good thing to stop tonight and honestly assess, what are my kids getting from me?
Right.
I mean, not be honest or work hard, but walk with God.
Yeah.
Be a true Christian. Is that what they see? I told my wife this week, I never saw my mom or dad read a Bible. Never a time that they sat down and said, "Son, I want to tell you what God expects of you." Well, we had a church we went to after I was almost a teenager. But in there, you had to work your way into heaven. And how you was ever going to work your way into heaven in a family that never talked about it, I don't know. Would you just look and say, are they actually getting what they need to get?
Amen.
Am I equipping them to stand in a battle? God help us.
Yes, sir.
You never take fall into temptation lightly, but never count it as final.
Amen.
God will always forgive. He'll always start all over. He'll forgive you, and you can do better with the rest of your life.
Amen.
We don't have to fall to temptation.
Amen.
Don't let it happen. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I pray now that you would bless. I pray, Lord, that you would take this and, Lord, somehow work in somebody's heart to see, God, we don't have to fail you. I pray you'd help us to care enough not to. Have your will done now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.